May I begin message four, our final conference message? I want to carefully read three verses which are the very foundation for this particular message. And this is from Matthew 7, 21, 22, and 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But he who does the will of my Father, who is in the heavens. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, what's this verse? What's this verse? Lord, and it not in your name that we prophesied, and your name cast out demons, and in your name did many works of power. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We need to realize the Lord is speaking to all of us. Of course, it's in the context of the kingdom, and in Matthew, it's a particular aspect of the kingdom in this age, in the coming age, the kingdom of the heavens. And just a very brief testimony. As you know, perhaps in message one, I pointed out that as I was finishing my theology training in 1964, I made this decision for my whole life. Lord, I will not accept your permissive will. I only want to know and do your perfect will. And you may remember that I said I didn't know what the perfect will of God was, but somehow I had the thought there's a distinction between what God permits and what is the perfect will of God. And it was the Lord's response to this decision that opened the way 2 years later for him to bring me into the Lord's recovery. But during those 2 years, I was considering the three verses that I read, that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. So these verses occupied my attention and my seeking. And it was, for that time, the only portion of the New Testament that I was desperate to understand. And just a few weeks after I came into the Lord's recovery, I began to listen to Brother Lee's messages on the kingdom. And then these verses were made crystal clear that whether or not we will be co-kings in the coming age depends on whether or not we are doing the will of God the Father. And notice in this verse, or these verses, in verse 22, they said, look at all the things we did in your name. We prophesied. We cast out demons. We did many works of power. The Lord didn't say, you didn't do those. He didn't deny that. But what he went on to say was, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. This is at the judgment seat. I don't know you. I don't recognize you when it comes to this kind of work. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Now, isn't it unusual that the works mentioned in verse 22, all of them so positive, prophesying, casting out demons, doing many works. The Lord didn't say, this is not true, this is not accurate. But they did it apart from the will of God the Father. Their will was the will they followed. And they might have been successful. But it's very striking that at the end of verse 23, he said, workers of lawlessness. And all of us in a particular, in a general way, but anyone who has the leading and the burden to serve the Lord in his work, you need to realize, what work? Is it the work that has its source in the will of God the Father? And whether or not we do the will of God the Father in this age will determine whether we will enter into the kingdom as a co-king in the upcoming age. And so this is of utmost importance for all of us in our personal life with the Lord and our personal spiritual history in and with the Lord, that we would come to a conclusion that the Lord would be able to say, come into the kingdom. You were not lawless. You did the will of God, my Father. So this is the essence of this message. Now we can go through the outline in a careful way, but hopefully in a clear way. The subject, doing the will of God the Father for the kingdom of God. So here it's beyond knowing. Here we're talking about doing, not our own will. Not what others encourage us to do. That's their will. But doing the will of God the Father for what? What is your purpose in doing the will of God the Father? Why are you giving yourself to do the will of God the Father? We should be able to say directly, for the kingdom of God. Now, point one, in order to enter into the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens in the coming age, we must do the will of our Father in this age. This statement is really crystal clear. that if we want to be in the kingdom in the coming age, if we want to be in the manifestation of the kingdom, this means when it's made clear over the whole earth, all the kind of people in politics, that's over. The natural human government is terminated. We are all under the kingdom of God, manifested. We are in the stage of the kingdom of God, inwardly experienced and living. So I repeat, in order to enter into the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens in the coming age, we must do the will of our Father in this age. And notice, this statement doesn't say in a general way, doing the will of God, but doing the will of our Father. This is one reason why recently, again and again, I've been emphasizing a verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And the writer said, we wrote these things that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And I honestly believe that throughout the entire recovery, there is the need for us, for the Lord to shepherd us and lead and guide us into this aspect of fellowship. Fellowship with God our Father. Because Father God is the source of everything that's being carried out for his purpose. And so our decision and our hope is that we will do the will of our Father now, so that we may enter into the manifestation of the kingdom of God our Father then. So this is a crucial point that we all need to consider and then decide. God is not going to make a decision for us. No one can make a decision properly for someone else. Once the light is shining on this particular matter, then we can say, Father, for the coming manifestation of the kingdom, I choose to do your will in this age. Then probably immediately you will say, Father, what is your will? In order to do your will, I must know your will. And that is something we were emphasizing previously. Okay, two, the kingdom is absolutely a matter of God's will. Notice this, absolutely, not partially, but absolutely a matter of God's will. So the kingdom and God's will, they're almost one. And we'll read this at the end of this sentence. A matter of God's will and completely fulfills God's will. In fact, the kingdom of God is God's will. I just let the brothers know ahead of time that the Itero in October will be in Warsaw. I think you know that. And you're the first group of saints to know the general subject is living in the reality of the kingdom of God. And one of the outlines that Brother Ed is composing is based upon Matthew 24:14, that the gospel of the kingdom of God must be preached throughout the inhabited earth. And Europe is going to be the center of this at the end of this age. And so it really will help us very much if we realize God's will and God's kingdom are one. And so when we're seeking God's will, more and more we will be aware that we're also seeking God's kingdom. And if we are praying or considering something or learning something concerning the kingdom of God, we will also at the same time have the thought that this includes God's will. So this is of utmost importance in the Lord's recovery. Now, the kingdom of God is God's will. A, as the kingdom people, we are on earth to do the Father's will. Kingdom people, we don't have to use these words in conversation. Nothing wrong if we do, but we should just realize we have this aspect that when your children were born, they didn't realize they are citizens in this country. And certainly I didn't realize when I was regenerated, you know, at 15 years old, almost 16, that I'm one of the kingdom people. I was born into the kingdom. And so many dear Christians don't realize the issue of their being regenerated is that they are in their kingdom people. And we are on earth to do the Father's will. So we can apply it this way, and you may want to say it personally, inwardly, to the Lord. Lord, now I know I'm here on earth to do the Father's will. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm still pursuing you. Because I'm here. I'm alive. I was created to do the Father's will. Be in order to the will of God, of the will of the Father, we need to enter in through the narrow gate and walk on the constricted way. I suggest you read these verses when you are able to, that many of us can testify about this. When the Lord led us into the Lord's recovery, we are on a new way, a new journey. And then we realized, I'm being limited. I'm being restricted. The Lord is touching this and dealing with that and removing that. And many of us can testify as the years go by, the way is getting more and more narrow than ever before. Because it will affect our thinking, our speaking, our everything. And so there's the narrow gate. And this is one reason why many dear saints do not decide to take the way of the Lord's recovery. Even if they see something that enlightens them, that touches them, they just realize this will cost me everything. I remember decades ago during a semi-annual conference, a brother and his wife were there for the first time, and he was a pastor, a preacher. And his wife was really enjoyed being married to this kind of person. She has quite an important position, she thought. And he was very close to deciding, I'm going to leave that system and enter into the Lord's recovery. But he could not, and he did not, pay the price. And we don't say this to new ones as if putting this weight on them. They would just realize from the atmosphere that I'm in another realm. This was one of the first feelings I had when I entered the Lord's recovery. These are different species of Christians. I've never known these kind of believers. Well, it's because we're entering into the kingdom through the narrow gate. And then the way is constricted. I think many of us can testify of this. And they testify this with peace, with thankfulness, even with joy, that the more we pursue the Lord, the more we are endeavoring to carry out his will, the more constricted is the way. The narrow gate excludes. Listen to the things that it excludes. The old man, the self, the flesh, the human concept, and the world with all its glory. Only that which corresponds with God's will can enter in. Well, surely none of us realized all of this when we came in. But little by little, we begin to realize this. I'm in another realm. And so many aspects are being excluded. After I've been in the church in Los Angeles for a few weeks, I was in a Saturday morning meeting. At 8 o'clock, we came together to pray, and then we would have practical service. And after 5 minutes, I just had to leave the meeting and go home. And one brother who was caring for me and helping me, because I'm a new one, he had a positive feeling about it, but he didn't know. Because the Lord wanted me to deal with so many physical things and literally throw them away in the garbage can. Clothes, this and that. Well, that's something shallow and outward. But eventually, there'll be more exclusions. And after one of the, maybe even the very first meeting I was in Los Angeles, a brother about 20 years older than I came to me in a very pleasant way. And I just let him know where I came from, and he used to be a pastor. And this is one thing he said that stayed with me now for all these decades. When you come here, you lose all your glory. And so do all those who share your glory. And I just received that. And then the Lord made that something experiential. Point two, as we walk on the constricted way, we are restricted by a mysterious, invisible, inward control. And we live under this control. Well, this utterance is from Brother Nee directly, as I appreciated the way he expressed this unusual thought. So we're walking on this constricted way. We are restricted, and this is now inwardly, by a mysterious, invisible, inward control. But what's the control? It is the indwelling Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the all-inclusive Christ. And as we are walking this way, then we are controlled inwardly in this mysterious, invisible, inward way. And to me, this is quite precious because it points out that living in the kingdom is not simply outward, but it's at the very center of our being. Christ the King is not only making his home in my heart, he is controlling, he is directing, he is ruling. Brothers and sisters, how could I ever be among those that would be co-kings, reigning with the Lord on the earth, if during my lifetime I didn't know and experience Christ inwardly ruling over me? Then we will be trained to be able to rule with him during the coming age. Okay, section three. The kingdom people need to pray for the Father's will to be done on earth as it is in the heavens. This is to bring the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. What do you think would happen if the believers didn't pray for this? I think the answer is quite simple. God the Father will wait. He will not manifest the kingdom until there's the necessary prayers from the church. The kingdom people need to pray for the Father's will to be done on earth as in the heavens. This statement is exact. Let's look at it again. That the Father's will to be done on earth as in the heavens. This is in Matthew. We're told very clearly. Right now, in the heavens, the will of God is done absolutely with no limitation. In Acts chapter 12, after one of the apostles had been put to death by religious people, and Peter was in prison, and the saints were praying desperately concerning this, especially in one house where a dear sister was really given to the Lord for this kind of prayer. And then what happened? During the night, an angel came to the place where Peter was in jail, and he released him from the chains that were on him. And he opened the gates, he opened the doors. Then he guided him out on the street. Then the angel became invisible. And then finally it dawned on Peter, this was an angel. This is the response of the prayers on the earth, that what is happening take place in the heavens will now be done on the earth to that full degree. And so it's not just partially. The prayers need to be thorough. They need to be strong. Of course, with Christ as the source of this, to pray for the Father's will to be done. Who is going to pray mainly for Father's will to be done in Europe? On the one hand, it should be the whole body, caring for every part of the body. But from another point of view, those that are here, wherever that may be, are praying desperately that the Father's will be done here, exactly as it is done in the heavens. This is to bring the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. So this is the crucial matter. How will the kingdom of God be brought to the earth? It will be the prayers of the saints in the churches. And surely, the Pope is not going to be leading everyone under his control to pray like this. All kinds of religious groups won't pray like this. But the Lord is waiting at this very moment that he wants the will being done in heaven to be done on the earth. And just back to Acts 12, because of the prayer concerning the kingdom, concerning God's authority, an angel was sent. And then later in the same chapter, a certain person in the government was just glorifying himself, and he had some people come together to kind of adore him about his giving some kind of speech. And while he was speaking, an angel came and struck him down dead. Because that was the decision on the throne. This person is glorifying himself. He's absolutely against the sovereign God. So this shows the impact, the power of the church's prayers for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm repeating this again for emphasis. This is to bring the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. We're not just here waiting for it to happen. We are praying to bring it to the earth. After the rebellion of Satan, the earth fell into his usurping hands, and the will of God could not be done on earth as in heaven. God created man with the intention of recovering the earth for himself. Well, we're not going to recover the entire earth in this age, but we are going to recover a portion of the earth to open the way for the kingdom to come throughout the entire earth. And isn't it wonderful that throughout Europe, there is a portion of this part of the earth that's under the rule of the Lord, that here we have a portion of the earth recovered. And so the Lord wants to recover the whole earth, and in this age he wants to have saints and churches that open the way. So he has a landing place, so to speak, that when he comes, I know I can come. I can come to Sweden. I can come to Germany. I can come to all these places because of the dear saints and the churches have claimed this part of the earth for the kingdom. See, the kingdom people must pray for this until the earth is fully recovered for God's will in the coming kingdom age. This is quite important. The kingdom people must pray for this until. And I believe many of us can share this in fellowship. That on the one hand, I realize I have a great need to pray about this. But I've been praying and praying and praying, even for years. I think many of us have experienced this. On the one hand, we can't stop praying. On the other hand, we're wondering, why is there no response yet? Well, that's up to God for his way and for his time. But notice this little word, until. Until. And just for a moment, I just want to point out, may the Lord have mercy to all the believers in the United States, because the culture does not produce people that will do things until. If they can't get it right away, they're not paying the price to get something that you don't know when and how it's going to happen. But the Lord needs this, and he will enable us. I want to emphasize this, that the kingdom people must pray for this until the earth is fully recovered for God's will in the coming kingdom age. And so our inner feeling is, Lord, every part of the earth is yours. And we know this in some of the Psalms, like Psalm 24, that Christ has been told to inherit all the earth. The whole earth will belong to him in the kingdom age. But here, through prayer, doing the will of God concerning the kingdom opens the way for the Lord to come and claim his inheritance, the entire earth. D, when the Father's name is sanctified, the Son's kingdom has come, and the Spirit's will is done on earth as in heaven. That will be the time of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Let's just look at this portion by portion. When the Father's name is sanctified, John 6:9. How many today people are just cursing him, using terrible words about him? We need to pray that the Father's name is sanctified, that the Son's kingdom has come, and the Spirit's will is done on earth, again, as in the heavens. That will be the time of the manifestation of the kingdom of God. And so the Lord has raised up throughout the earth his recovery. There are hundreds of churches throughout the earth. May there be nonstop prayers, not just in church meetings, prayer meetings, but in just a few saints coming together for 20 or 30 minutes, once or twice a week, to pray along this line, to make it clear we will not stop praying until the kingdom of God is manifested on the earth. And we will expand the prayers. We will not stop praying until the bride has made herself ready. We're not going to stop until we see you face to face. Now, section 4, and this is now focusing on the verse that I read in the beginning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. So now we have some more detail about this particular verse. To call on the Lord suffices for us to be saved. But to enter into the kingdom of the heavens, we also need to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Again, I feel sorry for just millions of Christians who received some aspects of the gospel. They believed what's in John 3:15 and 16. They've been regenerated, but they don't realize this. What's beyond this? That they've been saved. To them, that's sufficient. But it's not. What about to enter into the kingdom of the heavens? We also need to do the will of the Heavenly Father, to do it. And that's one reason why the word doing is in the the top of the outline, doing the will. And this is how the Lord will lead us to the end of this precious time together. We are here to do the will of God the Father. I don't want to just stop with understanding it or knowing it, but here we want to be trained by you to do it, whatever it is. And I would suggest in your fellowship with the Lord, as the Spirit is flowing within you, you can make a lifelong decision. Lord, I choose to do the will of God the Father. I want to just, this is like when a man and a woman get married, they're making a lifelong promise. And we would like to settle this, then the Lord will be able to train us to carry out what we have decided to do concerning doing the will of the Heavenly Father. B, since entering into the kingdom of the heavens requires doing the will of the Heavenly Father, it is clearly different from entering into the kingdom of God through regeneration. And we are familiar with John 3, verses 3 and 5. And we just thank the Lord for his kindness to all of us. But he didn't leave us just partially knowing the reason we were regenerated. Because Christians can easily say, look at, read John chapter 3. I've been regenerated. So I've entered into the kingdom of God. Well, that's true. But that's only the beginning. Just as your parents knew when your children were born, you know into what they were born. At the time, they didn't know where they were, who anyone was. But as they continued living in that realm, they realized, I'm part of a family. I'm part of a neighborhood. I'm part of a city. On and on. And so we need to realize there's a clear difference between entering into the kingdom of God through regeneration and doing the will of God for the kingdom of God the Father for the coming kingdom. One, the entrance into the kingdom of God is through being born of the divine life. I hope there's no misunderstanding if I didn't make this more detailed, exact. We rejoice that any human being would be regenerated and be born again and become a child of God and have eternal life and will eventually be part of the New Jerusalem, the bride, the wife of the redeeming God. We don't neglect this. It's a wonderful thing that anyone we know or anyone we help to be regenerated. It's glorious. It's marvelous. Here is a sinner like me, saved, born again. We know their eternal destiny. We don't minimize that, but we don't stop with that. We have to press on to the entrance into the kingdom of the heavens is through the living of the divine life. Now, please compare these two points, 1 and 2. The entrance into the kingdom of the heavens is through the living of the divine life. When we were regenerated, we entered into the kingdom of God in a general way. But now, the more we are living of the divine life, we have the divine life, just as your children had human lives. And so now, the entrance to the kingdom of the heavens, not the general kingdom of God, is through the living of the divine life. So now this should be very focused. What's on the Lord's heart continuously? What kind of life are we living day by day? Of course, in a practical way, we have our human life. But just like the Lord Jesus, he had a human life. But in that human living, he was living the divine life, the eternal life of God. And so now this is way beyond doctrine or even just Bible study of verses. Entering into the kingdom of the heavens. We all want to enter. Well, we all have the same pathway. It's crystal clear. It's by living of the divine life. And so we all need to learn personally the difference between our natural human life and our indwelling divine life. And once we're beginning to understand, wow, I'm a rather complicated person. Yeah, we all are. We were created by God, so we have a human life. Sin penetrated us, so our body is a body of sin and death. So now there's this negative life, and we have been regenerated. Now we have the divine life. And once we realize we need to live the divine life, then we need to realize, in order to do this, we need to inwardly discern the difference between our natural human life and the divine life. And once we have this discernment, then we apply the cross to our own natural human life. I remember a rather simple learning experience around 1969. Brother Lee gave a particular message. And just a couple of days later, I found out something that a brother that I was close to, he was appointed to do such and such. And you know what? I was jealous. I thought I've never been jealous like that before, but I'm jealous. I can't deny it. And even I thought, I did not know the thought that males were jealous. But after a minute or two, talking to the Lord, I said, Lord, Last night I heard the message about applying the cross to these aspects of our fallen human being. And I said, Lord, I'm gonna do it. And I want you to do it with me. And the jealousy was killed. Because the jealousy is altogether human. It's very common. But at the same time, because we've been born again, we have the divine life. And so the Lord is shepherding us and he's training us more and more to deny, I'm emphasizing again, I know, that the Lord wants us to deny our natural life and live the divine life in every human situation. That after I've been in the Lord's recovery for quite a long time, and I visited my dear parents, where they live far in the north of Michigan, up north, and they were believers. But I had to learn, they're living all together, especially my dear mother, was so strong in the natural life. And the Lord just indicated, Ryan, you need to learn how to be Jesusly human with your parents. That you're talking to them, you're with them. This is genuinely human. You honor your parents, but do it by me. Be their son by the divine life in me. Okay, now section C. The Lord Jesus rebuked those who prophesied, cast out demons, and did works of power in his name, because as, quote, workers of lawlessness, they did these things out of themselves and not out of obedience of God's will. This is of utmost importance, this statement. Workers of lawlessness. That's quite a word. But a vast number of believers, especially those that were very active Christian workers, thought they had done so many things. I accomplished this, I did that. Maybe even among us, we could say, Lord, you used me to establish a number of new local churches. I've done this and done that. And it's a fact, you might say, but it was lawless in this way. It was not out of obedience to God's will. So what is important here is the source. These things out of themselves. So either the self is the source, or God the Father is the source. And so even if we do some, what we think is very important work, and probably is, and there may be some very good results, but we may not realize you were the source. The Lord allowed you to do it. This is an age of grace. Yes, you accomplished this, you accomplished that. But now when it comes to the coming kingdom, you're not entering in. Because you were lawless in the sense of these things had their source out of themselves. not out of obedience of God's will. So this goes along with due obedience. There are two principles in the universe. The principle of God's authority and the principle of Satan's rebellion. We cannot serve God on the one hand and take the way of rebellion on the other hand. We must turn away from the principle of lawlessness and reject the way of rebellion. That I'm sorry to say, that at various times in our history, in the Lord's recovery, there has been this kind of lawlessness and rebellion. In 1978, when this one strong, humanly speaking, brother is with the Lord, but I still would not name him, he and his followers, in July of 1978, they rebelled against Brother Nee and the church in Anaheim. And they went to another state and to another place. This was rebellion. It actually happened. And some actually said, now we're really doing God's will. And among all those that were in that group, maybe about 120 or so, I don't know exactly, there was one brother who was recovered because he was an open vessel in his personal relationship with the Lord, and the Lord was shining, and he realized, I'm wrong. And he opened more and more. And eventually, he contacted Brother Lee. And he finished his course in victory. But all those finished their course, so to speak, in the rebellion. For serving God is directly linked to his authority. And so we know at the end of Matthew, God-man Jesus said, I am the Son of Man. I have all authority in heaven and on earth. Only he has authority. Brothers and sisters, in a particular way, may express this authority, but they themselves do not have authority. A few years ago, a married couple came to me with a deep concern. They admit they made a certain kind of mistake, and a co-worker came, and they were not judging him, but they were telling what happened. He was just full of rage in exercising that he has authority to them. Well, they needed to be cared for and to have some discipline temporarily. But for any brother, any sister, any co-worker thinks, I have authority. This indicates deep in your being, instead of authority, you have rebellion. If we do not settle the matter of authority, we will have problems in all areas of our service. Then the last point, may the Lord preserve our service in the principle of submission to God's authority and the Father's will. I don't know now throughout the earth in the regular church life how much service there really is. I just remember in the middle and later 60s, this is just a major part of the church life. Practical service. I just wonder, and I'm very careful to say this, I'm talking about an entire generation, but at least in the United States, it's very, very limited that even dear saints have no feeling about service. Don't you realize from Matthew 24, whether or not you will enter into the joy of the Lord, your master, depends on two things. One is that you are full of life, mature in life. The other is that you are faithful in service. And I just don't know what will take place to have this aspect. We shouldn't have a partial church life. I really like this. I enjoy that. But this kind of practical service or any kind of service, I just don't have the energy. I don't have the time. But as I bring this, my portion to an end, writing these outlines, waking up early to have a message given at 7 a.m. my time. This is just a small part of service. To me, it's a privilege to serve Him and to serve you with the living Word of God. Thank the Lord. May the Lord bless all of you in every way, in every situation, until you are raptured live to the throne. I don't know if I'll meet you ever again in Europe, maybe in Barlow. The plan is to come this fall, but surely we'll meet you in the coming kingdom. I really mean it, that God is a God of blessing. May He pour out blessing upon blessing to all the churches in Europe, all the saints of all ages. The God of blessing is the one we serve, gladly doing the will of God the Father. Amen.